So if you remember a couple weeks ago, we started to talk about the armor of God. And I use the analogy, we don't want to fight barehanded because as scripture says in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring what? Lion. And if you are going to take on a lion, you want to be prepared. You want to have all the protection that you could possibly have to fend off this attacker. And it's the same thing with us spiritually, that God has given us armor that he wants us to wear on a daily basis to fight off the enemy. So we started to look at this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the enemy's schemes. And so we're going to go through each one of these. And as we started out in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that the day of evil comes, that you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. And we're going to talk about this today, so I'm going to stop here. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So really quickly, I want to just kind of review these ones that we've been through. The first one that is on the list is what? It is the belt of truth. The belt of truth. And if you remember, I'm going to test you this morning. There is a word that I have on this belt. I'm seeing if you can remember what this word is. What is the word? Honesty. Yep, it's honesty. And that means that we are having honesty with who? With God. We're having honesty with God, and we're having honesty with who else? Ourself. So we have honesty with God, and we have honesty with ourself. When Paul's talking underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here of this belt of truth that we talked about, really what he's saying here is that I don't want you to have hypocrisy in your life. I know that there are those teachers and commentaries out there that'll tell you this is the word of God. We went through that. I don't believe it is just the word of God here. It can be that, but it's so much more. He's saying, don't have hypocrisy. So when you get up in the morning and you're taking this belt and you're putting on this first piece of the armor, you're being what? You're being honest. Honest with God, honest with yourself. You're saying, God, these are the things that I struggle with. This is where I'm at. And I'm not going to hide that from you. And I'm going to walk in your spirit today. Does that mean I'm going to do it perfectly all the time? No, absolutely not. And so that is why that I need to be honest and be truthful with you and myself of where I'm at. Because as I said last week, the first step of AA is to admit. And I believe that is a biblical step. You've got to start to admit where you're at before you can move forward. Because as we talk, the enemy wants to deceive you. That is his goal in this. And so you start to think that one little sin is not a big deal. And then we start to feed the lion that we talked about. And if you start to feed the lion, then he's going to grow up like in this cartoon here that somebody put together, and he will devour you. And so we have honesty with God. Last week, we talked about the breastplate of righteousness in Ephesians chapter 6. And so I had this tactical vest up here that carries a Kevlar plate inside of it. So if you're wearing this and you're in law enforcement or the military, you are able to hopefully be shot by a bullet and it will stop it. And so I had the word on here of what? If you can remember, I'm testing you. The first belt was what? Honesty? Can somebody remember what the word was on this? Reliance. So if you can put that in your mind, the belt is honesty. When I'm getting up in the morning, I'm putting on that belt of honesty, and then I'm putting on this breastplate of reliance. And that means that I'm not relying on myself. I'm relying on who? I'm relying on God. Because it's not just me that's doing this. It's not me at all. I'm relying and I'm standing with the Lord. And so as we talked last week, that is a right standing with God. That's where I'm at. And so when I'm putting on this breastplate, so to speak, of reliance, when the enemy shoots this arrow of doubt and he tells you, Because why? Because you're being honest with God. You're being honest with where you're at. And then he tells you, I cannot believe how you are and the sin that you get into and the things that you think about. God isn't with you. He doesn't care about you. And you know what? I don't even think that you're actually even saved. You say you are, but I don't think that you are. And so even if you were, you probably lost your salvation. That is the lie from God. And he shoots in this arrow. And he tries to hit you where? In the heart. And if he can hit you in the heart, and then you start to be deceived by this, and you start to tell yourself this lie from the enemy, that I am not acceptable to God, that I possibly have lost my salvation, that God will not accept me. As I said last week, that I have seen and known people this has happened to, and they start to have that doubt in their life, and they say, I'm just going to give up on this Christian life altogether. I can't do it. I cannot do it. And the truth is, you cannot do it. You can't. And so that is when you stand on that reliance. When the enemy comes in and he tells you those lies and he shoots in that arrow, you have on that belt of honesty. You're honest with God where you're at. Honest with yourself. You have on that breastplate and reliance. And you say, you know what? I am not worthy, but I have the position in Christ because of the work that Christ did on the cross. And so, Satan, I'm going to stand against you. I'm not going to listen to that because I know my position is secure, not in what I do, not my works that we talked about last week, but the work of Christ. And so this week we're going to go on. We're going to talk about the sandals of readiness in Ephesians 6:15. Now, they go by different terms, and the picture that I have up here that I found to go with this says sandals of readiness, but sometimes it's called the sandals of peace or the sandals of the gospel of peace. And so that gets a little bit confusing. But before we go on, I want to make this statement and see if you agree with it. You can tell a lot from by a person by the shoes that they wear. You think that's true? Because your shoes make a statement about you. I've got some pictures up here that I found of some different shoes. The first ones that are up here on would be the left side. You can see they're what shoes? Clown shoes. So what's probably his job? Being a clown. And I actually don't have clown shoes on this morning, so don't accuse me of that. The next one, you've got the 1970s boots there that in the heel of them, you can see it. They've got the goldfish. I don't know if I ever actually saw anybody wear those, but they had the goldfish in the heel. And of course, the next one over, you've got what we call cowboy boots. And you wear those because if you're riding, of course, in a saddle and you have your foot in the stirrup and you get bucked off, then hopefully that boot is going to come loose and you're not going to be hung up. So they have a purpose. The next one, football shoes. And they have cleats on the bottom of them so you can push back against your opponent and you can actually run and you can have this grip into the turf or the grass. Then the next one, you have military boots, tie-up boots that the military wears. And then the next one, and this is my daughter's favorite, all my daughters, flip-flops, okay? I'll tell you, I have never really been a sandals flip-flop guy. Even when I was a kid, I've just never been into that. Because, you know, as a kid, you want to run around and do this stuff. And flip-flops, they just get, you know, they get sand and dirt in them and your feet, you know, and you can't run, you have no traction. So I've never been into flip-flops. I just have never wore them. When I was a kid, I got made fun of because I just always wore tie-up boots. I don't know. That's just, I've always worn them ever since I was a kid. I just never wore tennis shoes because it just wasn't really what I just didn't like them. I wanted to have something on my feet that protected my feet and that wasn't going to fall off. And so I've always kind of been a boot guy, but my daughters are flip-flop girls, all right? I've had stories with them that they're traveling in the wintertime, and I'm talking about blizzard weather, and I've asked them, do you have good shoes on? And they're like, yeah, Dad, I've got good shoes on. And they're leaving the house, 20 below out, could get stuck, and they've got flip-flops on their feet. It drives me crazy. And I try to tell them, you need to be prepared. And they're like, nothing's going to happen until they get stuck, and then they're out there trying to scoop snow in flip-flops and it's 20 below. I'm just not that kind of person. Now, I did buy these a couple years ago. Some of the younger people are going to know these. These are what they call Hey Dudes, all right? My son-in-law is wearing these. Now, these are just a real lightweight shoe. And, you know, I want to be cool like all the young guys, so I bought a pair of these, and I wore them in public. And the first time that my daughter, Caitlin, saw me wearing these, we met up with her. She looked at my feet, and she said, "Dad, what is on your feet? Those are Hey Dudes." And I said, "Yeah, I know, I'm cool." And she's like, "What?" And my other daughter showed up, and they were like, "Did you see what Dad's wearing? He's wearing Hey Dudes." The whole universe was just rocks because they could not figure it out. And Caitlin said, "Those have no ankle support for you. You realize that?" I'm like, "I'm getting old. I got a pair of Hey Dudes because they're so used to me wearing boots all the time." These are the boots that I wore when I worked at the salvage yard that I worked at for 20 years when I was pastoring in Cozad. I had that second job all the time. And these are like the boots that I like. These things have a composite toe on them. They are leather. And then they have shanks through the bottom of them. These have composite shanks. So when you step on something, you won't have a nail go through the bottom of it. Now, back in the day, 30 years ago, I wore ones with steel toes and steel shanks, but I got kind of tired of it because it made like a boot like 82 pounds, okay, that you were wearing. But when you have these on, you know that you're going to be protected. And when I worked at H&H, I worked there for 20 years in the back. And, of course, at a salvage yard, you're doing all these jobs like you disassemble vehicles and you're handling transmissions and you're palleting engines and doing all this kind of stuff and carrying hoods and you've got oil and grease around all the time. You have to have something on your feet. Now, I was there long enough after so many years that I started to do the hiring in the back for the guys that would come in, these new guys. And one of the things that I would look at, first of all, when they came in, was what they had on their feet. And I would say, "What do you usually wear to work?" And they would say, "Well, I don't know, like, you know, tennis shoes or flip-flops." And nobody ever said flip-flops. I'm not surprised. And if they came in and had a good pair of boots on, and that pair of boots looked very worn to me, I knew that this was probably going to be a guy that we should hire. Now, we had a guy that was hired, not by me, but by somebody else. And he showed up for the first day, and this other guy that hired him said, "Yeah, I think he'll be a good guy." He showed up with white high-top tennis shoes on that weren't tied. And I saw that, and I thought, he's not going to last long. He lasted 3 days, longer than I thought. The guys didn't even, you know, that had worked there for years didn't even know his name. They just called him High Top because they knew, too, by looking at his shoes, he wasn't going to make it there. And it was kind of comical because he had these bright white High Top shoes on, and he tried to keep them clean there at a salvage yard where oil is like this deep all the time on the floor and just... And so he was always trying to keep his shoes clean. And it spoke a lot about who he was. And it's the same thing with us when we're talking about these sandals today, or boots if you want to call them that. Because if you knew that you were going to walk through ground that's covered with cactus and rocks, what would you want to wear? And the answer to that is flip-flops. I'll just wear flip-flops. I'll be okay. Is it flip-flops? And the answer is no, you want to have boots on. Because a soldier with no boots is crazy. You know this, to be without shoes or boots is to be naked and vulnerable. And if you're barefoot, there's many places you just won't go. If you don't have any other option, you're going to say, "Oh, I would want to go down this path, but this is what I have on for footwear. I just can't do it. I'm not prepared." And so that is why that Paul talks about here that we need to have and be fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, these sandals. And even in our own language, in terms when we're talking about feet, it can mean something else. There's a lesson that comes along with that because there's some terms that are associated with feet that have a completely other meaning. To put your foot down is to be what? To be strong or firm. To have cold feet means to back out or to change one's mind. Having one's feet on the ground is to be realistic and not a dreamer. To get on your own feet means to become established. And stepping on toes means to talk about things which make people feel guilty or to create conviction or uneasy. And so even in our terms today, when we talk about feet, there is another meaning that goes along with this. And so when Paul is talking about the sandals of readiness with the peace, with the gospel of peace, there is a completely other meaning that he is tying into it. Because it's the same thing with the biblical use. When it talks about steps or walk or feet, they all refer to the way of life. We can see that in Scripture. A believer's walk, his life as witnessed by others and before God. Romans 8:1 says this. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How you're walking in your daily life. And so today we're going to talk about, once again, the history of the Roman war sandal. We have to understand that, of what Paul's speaking about, because of course, we don't see that on a daily basis like they did 2,000 years ago. The explanation of readiness and peace, we're going to talk about the peace of God. We're going to talk about the attack of Satan and the application to our lives. And we'll be done by at least 3 o'clock. Get that all done. So I'm going to move on pretty quickly here. So understanding what the readiness is here, we have to understand what the sandal is. And so in the word in the Greek, it means sandal or shoe. And the soldier's shoes were fashioned from thick leather and studded through the soles with these hobnails. So it's something that we don't really see today. And I try to get a close-up picture here for you, that they had these sandals and they actually called them, quote unquote, boots of the day. But it's not boots like we think about. We think of, you know, boots with a closed toe and like the one that I was showing you here. This is what I think about when I think of a boot, but they talked about boots as being the sandals. And they would have, of course, these straps that you can see in the picture that they would wrap up around their ankle, and they were very sturdy. Of course, marching was an essential part of a soldier's life, and no soldier could march without sturdy shoes. You can see this picture here that is actually a carving in stone that was from the day, and it's the same picture of this sandal. And these sandals, they say, were very comfortable, at least comfortable enough to allow the soldier to march at least 20 miles, sometimes more a day. So it's something that you would have to put on every day as a soldier because it was something that you needed for your job. Just like when I worked at H&H, it was something that you had to do every day. You had to put on these boots. And if you didn't do that, there could be something that could happen from that. I had an experience one day, for 2 days I wore, and I never had done this, and the guys made fun of me, but it was hot in the summertime, and I wore like a canvas tennis shoe. And I was power washing these greasy parts off, and we had this industrial power washer, and the water was boiling in it. And I was so used to holding onto the part when I power washed it so it wouldn't go rolling away, and I would always power wash over my boot because it never bothered me. And I didn't think about that day, and I power washed over my foot with that wand, with that boiling water. And I realized when I did it, wow, I had made a big mistake. And so I didn't even want to take my shoe off, but I decided to take it off, and the skin on my toes all came off with it when I took my sock off. And it was horrible. I thought actually that I was going to lose probably at least 2 of my toes because I mean, it was down to the bone almost. I mean, it was so bad. The meat was gone. And I had learned 2 days I had wore those shoes. And of course, the guys all said to me, I told you so. You shouldn't have done that. Because I would always say, don't wear those. They said, why did you do that? I said, I don't know. It was like being on vacation for a couple of days, you know, with having these shoes that didn't weigh, you know, 50 pounds on your feet. But I paid for it. And so just like that was something that I had to put on every day, I'm going back to using this, that they had to put these on every day. It was part of their uniform that they needed every day. And the studded soles enabled the soldier, of course, to stand firm. It kept the soldier's feet from slipping in battle. Without the shoes, a Roman soldier could not maintain his position against the enemy. And even before the Roman era, the breaking of a soldier's shoe was a metaphor for weakness or defeat. You can see that in Isaiah 5:27. And so the Roman soldiers, I looked this up in the history, it says this, they were so closely identified with their shoes that the slang term for the Roman soldiers in the ancient world was bootmen. That's what they called them, bootmen, because it was such a part of who they were and what they were doing. The sandal was so important that each soldier was fitted with a custom pair just for them. That is how important that they thought it was that they were going to spend the time that each person had their own boots, so to speak, or sandals for the battle. So let's look at this and answer this question. What does readiness mean? Well, in the Greek there, the word means a prepared foundation, a steadiness. It also means to be ready in readiness. What does that mean? It's saying that we are always to have our sandals on. Prepare to be prepared. We really don't have anything that's the equivalent in our language. It's saying that you always need to have these on to be prepared. Years ago, I went hog hunting down in the southern part of Texas, right on the Rio Grande. Never went down there. That was the first year that we went down there. And there was a guy that went down there in the same area and camped when he was hog hunting. And he said, you need to be prepared because this is some rough ground down there. I don't know if you've ever been down there, but everything down there will stick you or bite you. I mean, that is, it is just rough down there. I mean, you've got all these type of cactuses and with thorns on them that are like this. And they actually, it's kind of interesting that they have cattle that they run in this ground, and they have to have a guy go out there with a big old blowtorch, and he takes off of the needles off of the cactus, and then the cattle eat the cactus. These cattle are this tough down there. And so you got everything that'll either just, like I said, poke you or bite you. There are scorpions down there that are this big, these black scorpions, and they will crawl into your boots in the camp when you let your boots fall over and sit there. There are snakes down there, and I kid you not, sometimes I just completely exaggerate with you, but there are snakes that are like 7 feet long down there. Rattlesnakes. They are just, there's a guy that was down there before and he took a picture of that one that they'd killed. And this guy was about 6'2 or 6'3 and he's holding it like this. And by the head, that tail was on the ground. It was almost a 7 foot long rattlesnake. And they're about this big around. That is a snake. So you've got those, and then you've actually got drug mules that are coming across. That's individuals that are coming from the Mexican side to the American side, and they're bringing drugs through. We had three guys that just walked through the camp, and they had backpacks on, just like they just, and they don't bother you or anything, but that's kind of unnerving. And so then they bring the drugs across, somebody meets up with them, they go back. And so I had a friend down there, and when he was a little bit paranoid about all this stuff, so the entire time that we were down there, he wore his boots 24/7. He wore them when he was sleeping. He wore them during the day. He never took his boots off. And we gave him a hard time, said, you got to take your boots off, Eric. And he said, absolutely not. I'm going to be ready for whatever happens down here. And he said, and to be ready is to have my boots on. And he had a serious pair of pack boots on that went up to his knees that you just lace up. Now, the problem is that we found out if you wear your boots for 5 or 6 days in a row and don't take them off and it's 100-degree weather, he said, my feet are starting to kill me. And so one day he took his boots off and peeled the socks back, and his feet looked like they'd been in the, you know, when you're in the bathtub for about 4 hours. That's the way that his feet looked. And the skin was starting to blister and come off of his feet. But he was ready if anything was going to come about, because his mind was that he was not going to be caught without his boots on. He was prepared to be prepared. And that is what it's speaking about here. Now, this gets a little bit confusing here on our next word, and that is the gospel of peace. This word in the Greek is the same Hebrew word for shalom, about the same thing. And the words perfect and peace are the same in the Hebrew, which means to lack nothing. It can mean safety, rest, soundness in body, mind, and spirit, health, to be complete. And so what does that mean? If you look at some commentaries, and you will have some teachers that will say, when it's talking about the gospel of peace, it's peace with God. And they'll say that's a redeeming peace, which it can be. And so this peace is that we gain with God our salvation. We only gain this through, and we talked about this last week, the work of Christ on the cross and the empty tomb. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14, Romans 5, 1 speak about this. And so these teachers will say, well, it's the redeeming peace here that he's speaking about. And they'll say, there we go. We can shut our Bibles and we can go home. Let's have a word of prayer. It's more than just that, because it's talking about the peace of God. It's the same type of peace that Jesus is talking about in John 16, 33. We are able to stand in confidence knowing that we have victory in Jesus Christ. Jesus says to people, he said, I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. He said, I've told you everything that I have been teaching for this time because I have one goal, and that is to, of course, set you up for the knowledge of what I'm going to do on the cross. But I want you to have peace also. In this world, you will have trouble. We talked about this last year about why do bad things happen. It's not a matter of if, but what? When something happens. He says, but take heart. He says, I have overcome the world. He says, I have given you a gift if you will accept it. And that is the gift of the peace of God. So what is peace? A definition of that that I found: having a supernatural mental calmness based on our trust, or you can say faith in God who is in control. Jesus says this in John 14, 27. He says, peace I leave with you. He says, my peace, this peace that I have, I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He says, I am giving you a supernatural peace. So when we're putting on these boots, so to speak, this is what we're given. We're given peace, and it has a purpose. And if we don't put these on when we're given these boots, these sandals, then we're going to have some trouble, because we talked about this weeks ago. The battlefield is what I was going to have Stacy hold on to that slide. See if I could just test you here. The battlefield is what, if you saw it there? Where is this? The battlefield is your mind. The battlefield is also your heart. As we talked about in 2 Corinthians 11, 3, Paul says, I don't want you to be deceived. Just like that Eve was deceived and her mind went astray because she started to think about things that she shouldn't have been thinking about. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life that we went through. And he says, once he gets you there in your mind, then he's won the battle. And Satan will use tools such as drama, issues, I will say stressors, to rob you of your peace. That's what he wants to do. He wants to take that peace from you. And these are the things that he's going to use. And if he can steal your peace, then you will live in constant state of fear, worry, and anxiety. And that's the battlefield. That's your mind. And then we start to worship the idols of our fears and worries. And that's where our heart is. So he wins the battlefield of your mind and your heart if you don't have on these sandals, these boots of peace. Because what Paul's saying here when we're answering the question, what does peace mean? Paul's saying you need to be ready before difficulties happen so that you can stand with an assurance, peace, that comes from God. Before those things even happen, you have to be prepared. Prepared to be prepared is what he's saying here. And so what he's talking about is the peace of God. And so we're going to look at quickly the passage that Hank read to us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, because he's talking about the peace of God here, and Paul's urging people to think on things which are true, because the battlefield is what? It's the mind. So he's telling us, when he's talking about the peace of God, he says, think of things that are true, because almost every anxious thought that we have feeds off of untruth, of lies, and that is how the enemy is going to work. And so I broke it down to three steps in this battle. And the first one is to refuse. The second one is to remember. And the third one is to reinforce. I believe that is what Paul is speaking to us about. So there's so much in these verses that we can unpack, but I'm going to go through them pretty quickly here. The first word is refuse. He says, be anxious for nothing. And that is, we refuse to allow ourselves to be controlled by our circumstance. He says, don't be anxious about anything. You need to stop that. That is part of this peace of God, because true freedom is possible when we admit that a burden is too heavy to carry. When we have this peace of God, we are saying, I am not going to be controlled by this, whatever this is. And that is a choice. I am making this choice at this point when I'm confronted with whatever the situation is, and I'm going to stop making it a priority in my mind. And I'm not going to let it control me. So when something comes up and I'm starting to get fearful and doubtful, I'm thinking about the peace of God. I'm putting on this boot. I'm going to be protected, because I'm not going to think about that in my mind, because the battlefield is the mind. I'm going to stop it, and I'm going to say, it's not going to control me. And so the first thing is that I'm going to be refuting this, whatever it is. The second thing is to remind. That's the second word that I have, because he says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And so the first thing is, we refuse to allow my circumstances to control me. I'm not going to be up and down with this, with the emotions of what's going on. The second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to remind myself of what is true. And how do we do that? He says, by prayer. This is how that we're going to do this. And what is prayer? Well, there's a lot of different definitions out there. But prayer is just in general the word for making a request known to God. It's simply talking to God. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, because in Ephesians chapter 6, this passage ends with prayer. It talks about one of the things that we need in the spiritual battle. So I don't want to spend the time on today when I'm going to do that in several weeks from now. But when he's talking about prayer here, he says, you need to be talking to God. And I was thinking about it this week that, you know, as people, we struggle with that sometimes. Just talking to God. And why do we struggle with that? Because we have a hard time or don't know how to talk to just other people. You ever feel like that? Like that you have to say what other people, you know, you think that they want to hear? Because why? Because you don't want them to be upset with you or mad with you. So you say what you think that they want to hear. Or we have our own demands and the things that we want. We have a vision of, you know, of the way things should be, and we have these expectations. And when they don't happen, we try to tell people, and we try to sometimes say that in a nice way and try to manipulate them. Sometimes we're just out rude and we say, this is what I want. And so then when it translates into talking with God, no wonder we have the struggles with it. And God says, you know, I'm a big enough God that I can handle it. I want you to do this. And this is where this all starts to tie together. You see this? This is where the belt of what? Honesty comes into play. So that is where you're putting on that belt of honesty and saying, God, you know what? I'm telling you today, I'm ticked off. I'm mad. I don't even know what I'm mad about. And I'm maybe just mad at you, God. I'm mad about A, B, C, and because it's causing X, Y, Z in my life, I'm ticked off. That's where I'm at. Or God, I'm having this struggle in my mind, and I'm being honest with God, and I'm being honest with myself. But then you start to tell yourself, well, if I'm honest with God with that, is he going to accept me? Is he going to be mad at me? Is the enemy going to come and say, that's the way that you talk to God? And that is when you start to have this breastplate of reliance. It's not about me. God looks at me and he sees his son. There's nothing that I can do, as we talked about last week, to change that position. When you have a child or a grandchild that comes to you and he's frustrated and he's going to tell you, you know, this is where I'm at. I may be unhappy with you. You don't say, you're not part of my family. Get out of here. A loving, unconditional, loving parent will say, I understand where you're at. And so when we're praying to God, this is what we're doing. We're talking to him and we're saying, God, I'm struggling in this. And this is the area that I'm struggling in. And so he talks about here these different steps. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, he says, be praying. And the first thing that we need to do to combat these lies of the enemy, how do we pray? Well, the first thing is we pray about everything. We pray about everything. Little things left undealt with will grow up to become big things. And so I believe that when Paul is saying here underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's saying in everything, he's talking about the truth that God cares. He cares about every area of your life, even the small things. Because the lie out there that the enemy is going to try to tell you is that God doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about the small details of your life. He doesn't even care about you, let alone the small things. The second thing is that we pray by prayer is what it's saying there, and supplication. Praying by prayer, because he says by prayer and by request there. Two times he's saying pray by prayer. And prayer carries the idea of admiration, awe, worship. And so then we're remembering the greatness and majestic part of who God is, the majesty of him. And then that combats this lie that God doesn't, you can't deal with your problems. The truth is that God is bigger than any of our problems. He goes on, he says, we pray by prayer and supplication. That's a fancy word there, but supplication really what it's meaning in the Greek there involves an honest sharing, a release of our problems and needs that I just talked about. That we're just being honest with God. And that describes your problems, and then you are going to then face it. And the truth is there that God is in control of everything. Even when things seem like they're out of control, we're telling ourselves the truth is that God is in control. And then the third thing is there, he says, be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. The third thing is that we pray by thanksgiving. And that implies an appreciation on our part. What we're saying is, thank you, God. We're reminding ourselves of the things that he's done for us. And when you're saying you're being thankful to somebody, saying thanks, you're really saying, you did something for me. I recognize that. I appreciate that. And maybe that's something that I can't do for myself. Maybe that's something that I don't deserve. And yet, I'm saying thankful, being thankful for it. I'm saying thank you. And so the third way is that we're praying with thanksgiving. And we're taking on this lie that God doesn't care about you. He doesn't want what's best for you. The truth is that God wants what's best for you and that he has a plan. We're reminding ourselves that God has done this in the past. He's done this and this and this. And so when the enemy comes in and says, God doesn't care, you say, that's not the way that I pray. I pray with a thankful heart. And then the third word that I have is reinforce there. We reinforce the truth. And that means that we have, in these situations that we run into that are difficult, faith, not fear. It's interesting here how that Paul puts this. He says to keep. In the King James Version, it says to protect, to garrison. It is the picture when they are having this read to them. They're having this picture of a band of Roman soldiers who are standing watch over something that needs protected. When he says this there, he says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, he says, what? Will guard. What is it going to guard? It's going to guard your heart and your mind, because that is where the battlefield is. He says, don't be anxious about anything. God is not the absence of problems and troubles. That's not what it is. Does that mean that you're just never going to have any troubles in life because you have the peace of God? And if you've been a Christian very long, you know that that is not true. Not the absence of problems and troubles. The peace of God means to be assured, confident, and secure in the loving care of God. That's what he's talking about here. And it means that even when one is faced with difficult situations, there is a calmness knowing that God is in control. And so I put this picture together, if you can kind of work with me, because I'm very visual, you know that. And this is the way that we need to think about it. When it's talking about, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. This is the way that I think about it. This is a group of soldiers that's protecting your mind and heart. And they're surrounding you when you have the peace of God. And they're sharing truth that God is in control, that he cares, that he's bigger than your problems. And they're saying that over and over. So on the outside of this attacking, I've got wrong feelings, anxiety, and fears. On the other side, you've got wrong thinking, and that's worries and lies. And then you've got, of course, the enemy. And so when you have this peace of God, doesn't mean that the attacks aren't going to come. But when they come, you're telling yourself, God is in control. My confidence is in that. When it all comes down to it, I don't know how this is all going to play out, what's going to happen, but I'm going to trust in him. And so that is the peace of God. Just to recap here really quick, this is the outline of it. Number one, to refuse. We need to refuse to allow ourselves to be controlled by the circumstances. Two, remind ourselves. We remind ourselves of what is truth, and we do that by prayer. And prayer in, first of all, everything. And that means that God cares. Second of all, prayer and supplication. God is bigger than whatever that is in my life that I'm facing and that he's in control. The third thing is thanksgiving. God has a plan. And then we reinforce what is truth in our life. We're focused in our mind when we start to have this battle and we start to become fearful and we're worrying that this one, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to focus on what's ever true. And I know that God has done these things in the past. So what is Satan's attack? If he can attack our spiritual feet, then he can defeat us. If Satan can strip the child of God of their sandals of peace, then they will walk in defeat and they will stumble in their daily lives and sometimes even backslide without the daily protection of the peace of God. And Satan knows a troubled soldier is a defeated soldier. If you're waking up every day and you think that you are in control and that you have to be in control, or you think that God is not in control and it's just complete chaos and things are going to happen, when things happen in your life, you are going to be fearful. You should be fearful if that's your thought process, but that's not true. And so this is Satan's attack. The enemy hurls thoughts of discouragement, fear, and anxieties against us. And so to illustrate this, I have my Milwaukee leaf blower up here today. And on it, I have discouragement, fears, and anxiety. Can you see that? And the way that he operates is that he's going to blow this right into your face. I started to think about this. I couldn't have done this at our Cozad church because I shouldn't say this, but we had a few older ladies that wore wigs to church. And I thought, you know what? That wouldn't be good if I was, you know, hitting them with the... I do this to my grandson. I'm kind of ornery as being a grandpa sometimes. So we've been out in the building before. And of course, he's only two. And I've taken this and it's pretty powerful. And I blow it right in his face. And he tries to walk against it, you know, and he's coming at grandpa. And he can't breathe. And I just keep blowing it right in his face, you know, because I'm going to toughen him up a little bit. And he'll just finally give up because you have this constant blowing in your face. And the enemy's going to do that. He has discouragement. He has fears. He has anxieties. You can't even see it sometimes. Because why? Because the battlefield is where? It's the mind. And he blows this in your face. And if you are not ready for it, you're going to start to backstep. you're going to start to backtrack, because the peace of God is like the spikes of the battle shoe that sink into the ground and provide a firm holding. It enables us to stand against the wind of spiritual attack, because when it comes in, we have the peace of God. We have these boots, these sandals that are going to hold you in place. If you think about it, just as the roots of a tree hold it in place when the strong winds come against it, it's the same thing with us. When you have these boots of the peace on, then, and you have this peace on the bottom of your feet, it holds you in place. Because you're telling yourself what we talked about today. You're telling yourself the truth. God cares. God is in control. God is bigger than this problem in my life. And God has a plan. The second attack that he will use, he uses our mind, but then he uses actual obstacles in our life along the path. And that can be just rocky relationships and just rough situations. For that, I have this illustration. I have a box of Legos up here. Now, I'm old enough, I didn't grow up with Legos. You know, that was after my time. But my girls had these. And so they would play with these Legos, and you know what kids do? When they get done playing with them, where they go? On the floor. That's where they go. And then you're going to go to the bathroom at 2 o'clock in the morning and trying to be real quiet walking in the house, and you step on one of these. And that's not fun. And that is the way that the enemy wants to work. He throws out these obstacles after he tries to blow in your face of discouragement. And then he says, ta-da, look what I got here. This situation in a relationship, this situation is happening with health, this situation. And he throws all these things out there. And if you don't have this protection on and you're barefoot, are you going to want to keep moving forward? And the answer to that is no, because you look at these obstacles and go, I can't do this. I can't do this. Because why? Because you don't have that protection. You don't have that peace. And the peace of God protects from injury, and it enables us to keep on pressing on in those situations. Because God may give you an assignment in your life that leads you through some challenging places. And he does that because he wants to prepare you as a good soldier. And he says, yeah, it is going to be rocky. It's going to be tough. There are things that are going to possibly hurt you in this. But you can keep pressing on if you have the peace of God. So what is the application? When the Christian soldier puts on the sandals, they will be able to stand firm when the enemy launches the attack. And in that, as I just talked about, not just standing firm, but you're able to march forward victoriously in your daily life. Because peace is a sense of calm confidence, knowing that through Christ, everything ultimately is going to be all right. And I'll be honest with you, just lately, I've been struggling with this. It's one thing to be able to stand up here and preach this and know this. It's another thing that's tough to live it out. I've been preaching this for 30 years now. 30 years. I get frustrated with myself because I know what truth is, but then I start to look at obstacles. I start to think about things. I start to have doubt. I start to get fearful because, you know, that a lot of it is just the programming that happened in my life, if you want to call that, as a very young child and the family that I grew up in. And so I start to think that I have to control things. And control is a myth. I've said that before from the pulpit, even here. I can't control anything. I can't control what's going to happen 2 minutes from now. And so I start to think I have to control things. Things are out of my control. There's nothing I can do about them. And so then I start to have fear, worry, and anxiety. And I have to remind myself that I need to go through these steps. And the first step is, I'll do this first thing before I get out of bed in the morning. I will start to go through these steps. I will say, God, this is where I'm at. I'm being honest. I'm putting on that belt. I'm being honest. I'm having some struggles. I'm not having right thinking. And then the second thing I do is I put on this breastplate and I say, it's not about me, though. I know today, no matter what I do, I am not going to lose my salvation. That is a free gift. I stand in that. I stand in His righteousness. And with that, then, I have this next step, which is then the word stability. This is where I'm at. No matter what happens today, I understand that you are in control, that I am going to have a supernatural peace about me, the peace of God. It's going to protect my mind, and it's going to protect my heart. And that is reminding myself that you care, you're in control, you care about the little things in my life. And yes, they may not be turning out like I think that they're going to turn out like. But that's all right, because I don't know the bigger picture in all of this. And so maybe the things that I'm expecting or thinking should happen, maybe aren't going to happen. And I'm going to stand in that, and I'm going to have stability, honesty. Going to be, you know, relying on you, God. And I'm going to start to have this stability in my life. And so we are to have this mindset. We're telling ourselves, regardless of what happens, I can stand. God is in control, and I'm moving forward until the work of God, whatever He's doing in this area of my life, is finished. And therefore, I will change from doubting and complaining to believing. That's where I'm going to walk today. And the thing that I'll end with is this. This is the other application, that these shoes or boots or sandals, whatever you want to call them, they're also for taking ground. Because God expects us to go on the offense and take the gospel of peace to other people. First Peter chapter 3, verse 14 says, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for your hope that you have. So with this, then, I'm taking ground and I'm sharing with somebody else. They say, well, how can you have peace about this that's happening? Well, I don't have peace in and of myself. The peace that I have is supernatural. It comes from God, because I'm telling myself He is in control. So this is the enemy's attack, is to create doubt. That's how he wants you to, you know, think. He wants you to have, you know, this discouragement and this fears and anxiety that he's blowing in your face, and you're. And if you can even get through that, he's like, whoa, look at what I put out here, the obstacles. You have to go through this. Quit. Just stop. That's what he wants you to do. And at that point, you say, nope, I'm going to lace up my boots today. Look what I got on. Composite toe, leather boots, non-breakable shoestrings. I'm going to keep pushing on through this, because it's not me doing it. In and of myself, I am naked and barefoot 100% of the time. When I'm standing in the peace of God, I am protected. So the two questions I leave you with are this. Am I going to be ready for whatever comes my way because I have the peace of God? And of course, as we talk, the peace of God is having a supernatural mental calmness based on the truth and faith in God who's in control. And the second question I leave you with as we close today is this. Am I bold in the battle because my feet are firmly rooted in the confidence of God? If you're struggling with anxiety, if you're struggling with fear, if you're struggling then thinking that things are out of control and that you have no control over them, then you're not putting on the peace of God. You're not having this protection. And if you're walking in that every day, it is difficult, if not impossible. And you will start to turn back. Are we bold in the battle because we're rooted in confidence in God? We have the word stability. We're stable. Close the word of prayer. Lord, I thank you that when we have the peace of God that Jesus said that he is leaving us, that it is something that is so powerful, that we know that as Jesus was in control, even at the point of the cross, Lord, that you had a plan through that, that we now have that peace about us, that you are in control, that you care, that you have a plan. And Lord, I pray that as your people that we would understand that on a daily basis. When we would get up in the mornings, we would put on that belt of honesty, that we'd be honest with where we're at, with you and with ourselves, that we would put on that that breastplate, and we are relying on you, Lord. And then when it comes to this boot, so to speak, as it talks about in your word, that we have stability that comes from you because we have the peace of God. And Lord, we can't do any of this in and of ourselves, Lord, as we've talked. And that is why that when we are taking on the enemy, the lion, that we need to have this armament. And so, Lord, thank you for laying it out in your word. I pray that we would just choose to pick it up every day because it's a choice, and put it on when we're standing against the enemy so we can live in victory. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.